97.5, The Fanatic.
It's Big Pimpin', baby. All right, Patty Gonzalez-Zulli on 97.5, The Fanatic. Talking about the Sixers. I won't even say we're talking about the win. We started off talking about the win and then just morphed into the team itself. After they made the moves at the deadline to acquire Alec Burks, who did not play tonight. Glenn Robinson, the third, who did play tonight, played well. 12 minutes, 10 points. Looking at this team, though, I mean, is there any hope for you?
There's a reason that we didn't talk about the win tonight, and the reason we didn't talk about the win is because you and I have become, and I think a lot of people have become, numb to victories at this point. Like, they don't excite me. Wins don't excite me with this team. I feel like I have just become a guy that looks forward to losses so I can come in here and produce a show, or I can come in here and host with you and talk about why they have shortcomings. We should not be living as fans and as radio hosts and producers that way, because that way is insanity. And I don't think that I can continue to go on with this season wanting, in the back of my head, sadistically thinking that a loss is more important than a win at this point. So, do I have hope? No, I don't. And I don't know what's going to change that. I don't know what's going to rectify that. And I, quite honestly, I don't even know what's justifying that. I don't know what I'm sitting here getting upset over losses for when I don't feel good about wins. Because that's what sports are supposed to be. You're supposed to ride with your team. Highs are great. Lows are bad. Lows are bad, yes. Highs don't, I don't feel anything with the highs of this team.
No, I'm the same way. I just, at this point, it's all just leading towards the inevitable of either a first round or second round loss, and that hurts. And I'm interested to see what they end up doing with, you know, the veteran buyout period. I'm sure that they are trying to get somebody. I would think it would be a shooter. I would think, but yeah. This season reminds me so much of how the Eagles season went, with the high expectations. But the Eagles season, you chuck up to injuries, and you go, okay, well, there's a reason why they finished 9-7, but they still made the playoffs, and they made a little bit of a run. Okay, fine. And even the last game of the season, I mean, you know, Carson Wentz goes out of the game, and you're like, all right, that sums up how the season's gone. The Sixers season, to me, is the opposite, where they've been such a disappointment, and they have no one to blame but themselves. They don't have these outside. It's not injuries. You can't blame it on injuries. I'd actually love to blame an injury. I can't.
Well, and you know, it's funny too, because if you're going to make that comparison to the Eagles, think about this: 9-7. When you play it out, if you multiply 9-7 by 3, because the Sixers have 21 losses this season, if you multiply 9-7 by 3 to get to that 21 loss threshold, they would only be 27-29. But, so they are higher, they're doing better than that, like, multiplication, you know, roundabout type comparing to the Eagles. But if you want to actually truly compare it to the Eagles, you would have to look at it and say, okay, they're 37-21, which is better than the 27-21 that, you know, gets played out. But they're only better than them because, for the most part, they've had 4 out of 5 starters, or at least 3 out of 5 starters, healthy from almost every game. Now, it's been back and forth who it is. Obviously, Embiid missed some time with the hand. Richardson missed some time with the hamstring. Horford's missed a couple games. But that basically would be all of them out at once. And that's how you can compare the Eagles season. If it was Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris and nobody else, and they were 27-21, I would bet you that even you, Mr. Pessimist, would be able to say, okay, this is okay. This is all right, because they have nobody. And they're still a playoff team. You know, that would prove to you that Ben Simmons is a all-world talent. That would prove to you that Tobias Harris might have been worth the contract. So the comparison to the Eagles is almost unfair to the Eagles, because the Eagles got through adversity and made the playoffs. This team is not really adverse to anything, and they're where they're at.
By the way, did you watch any of that All for Nothing show?
No. No, I haven't
horrible.
Yet.
Horrible.
I've not heard good things about it.
Horrible, dude. Like,
I don't, yeah, I, you know, quite honestly.
I got two episodes in and I sat there and said, why did they even bother following the team?
If you all for nothing the 2017 team, I would watch every second of every day. This team, like you talked about, you know, you and I and Tyrone sat here for 18 weeks and banged our head against the wall. And it took us 18 weeks and a Carson Wentz concussion and a playoff loss for us to go, okay, that actually wasn't as bad as we thought. But week by week, it was as bad as we thought. And it took four wins against three bad teams to get into the playoffs. I don't know if I have any interest in watching that documentary. I really don't.
No, I did because I wanted to see how they handled the injuries and basically how it was presented when, before a game, all of a sudden, DeSean Jackson has a sports hernia. I wanted to see exactly how that went down on camera. And you don't get that. They literally just gloss over it. They act like it was a preconceived thing. It was he's injured. I'm like, he got injured before the game started.
Yeah, week two.
We were sitting here. We're like, wait, he's not playing? What do you mean he's not playing?
It was the Atlanta game, right?
Yeah. And it's just they gloss over so much in this show that I sit back going, what was the point of you guys even being here? Now, they do a soccer show, too. They do All or Nothing, and they did, I think it's Man City. And there was a Netflix show. Do you know how the English soccer league works?
Yeah, for the most part.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'll explain it for everybody out there. But basically, you have tiers of teams. So you have the English Premier League, and that's where the top of the top. And then think of it kind of like how baseball has their divisions. But if you win if you're on one of the lower leagues and you win, you move up. And that's called promotion. And if you're one of the bottom two teams, I think you get demoted.
Relegated.
You get relegated.
Yes, yeah. Relegation.
And if you get relegated, you obviously lose a ton of money because of TV rights and whatnot. So it's a fight to get back to, you know, either League One, League Two, whatever it is, and then obviously the English Premier League. And there's a really good Netflix documentary called Sunderland Till I Die, and it's all about this team that got relegated to the second division. They got relegated from the Championship League, the English Premier League, to the Championship League. And I found it fascinating because it was such a train wreck to watch this team try to get back to the top. I was hooked in. And I had people tell me, oh, no, you got to watch All or Nothing. All or Nothing's better. But All or Nothing was following a good team. And I didn't find that interesting because I rarely find the documentaries about really good teams interesting. I want to see a train wreck.
So let me ask you this.
And last season's Eagles team was a train wreck.
This, just because I'm curious, this has nothing to do with the Eagles conversation we kind of got on. This Sunderland team was in the Premier League?
So
were they in the second league?
So I have no idea what happened this past year.
Because I'm looking at them.
I know, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Don't even say. I'm explaining to you because if they come out with a season two, which I don't know, I literally am one of those guys that I don't follow the team, but I want to know if they got back up. So the documentary came out a year ago. So it's actually the season will be from 2 years ago. They got relegated from the Premier League to the Championship League. And then spoiler alert out there, 3, 2, 1. I'll give you time to
turn your radio
turn it
off.
Down. The hope was at the beginning of the documentary, they get promoted. And they ended up getting relegated again.
To the tier three.
To tier three.
Okay.
And then I think they are going to have a season two. And then that's the fight, obviously, to get back to, you know, tier two. But my point of this to say all this is because I find a train wreck more entertaining than just a well-oiled machine when it comes to entertainment.
Well, that's not there's nothing to watch.
But with this team, there was a ton to watch, right? It's Alshon Jeffrey's attitude on the sidelines. It's how are they dealing with injury? It's how Carson Wentz is dealing with the fact that he's got a makeshift team. Maybe it gets better. I'm only two episodes in. But early on, you just scratch your head and go, is this entire movie, or documentary, I should say, going to be about the Eagles glossing over injuries and Brandon Graham giving an interview? And that's really what it seemed like.
I've gotten to the point, quite honestly, and not only the you know, train wreck versus good team argument, I've gotten to the point, quite honestly, where if I'm going to watch a documentary on a team, because, you know, we are so ingrained in Philadelphia sports that we know a lot. Like, they're going to say things on here, and for non-Philadelphia fans, it's going to be, wow, I didn't know that was going on in their locker, or wow, I didn't know that was going on in practice. We know all these things happened. I would rather watch a documentary on what the hell happened to the Carolina Panthers after Ron Rivera got fired, because I want to know what happened in that locker room, because they blew up. Now, I know they lost their quarterback, but like that to me is something I would rather watch than watch an Eagles documentary on the season that you, I, Tyrone for the Green Zone, and everybody that works here and is in the city of Philadelphia probably knows.
Yeah, what I found funny was during the Washington game, Brandon Graham goes, "Oh, listen, like they're booing us. Watch how quickly they come back. Watch how quickly they come back." Yeah, dude. That's how it works.
We're fans. That's how fandom works.
You guys are getting blown out by the Washington Case Keenums. Yeah, we're going to boo. We were waiting 8 months for this. Shocking, I know, Brandon. You've only been here for, what, 2010, I think?
Ten years.
Yeah, I know. It's surprising. We boo when we see a bad product, and we cheer a good one. What made it so frustrating, though, was at the beginning of it, they're covering the DeSean Jackson signing. And, well, actually, it was a trade. And the weapon that we had in Philly. And it drives me nuts that he didn't just get the damn surgery.
Just get the surgery.
Because they prolong it out. And if he had just gotten the surgery, it's a totally different game. It's a totally different season. But no, he doesn't want to get the surgery. So he waits and then gets re-injured. Two catches, by the way, out-caught. Mac Hollins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in that game. But it was like one catch for 7 yards, and then he's out for the season. And like, it's a brutal injury, but get the surgery, man. It's not rocket science. You're not a young buck anymore. Get the surgery. So, look, I think I'll finish it because it's a sports thing, and, you know, we're guys who like sports, but it was a lot like the Eagles season. It was very disappointing.
So you're willing to see this thing to the end. Let me ask you something
else. I'm not glued to my TV.
Because this is how we transition in radio. You're willing to see this thing to the end.
I was going to transition the same.
Are you willing to see the XFL thing to the end?
No. I watched probably combined 7 minutes of it today.
I got to tell you, it was much better football than I anticipated. Dylan made a good point before the show started, and it's true. This league's only going to go as far as quarterback play takes it. But I thought it was a very interesting first weekend. I thought it was, the rules are invigorating. I think it's fun football. It's faster paced football. The problem's going to be, we see interviews, you know, "Oh, I'm here with Pat Egan. He just missed a 43-yard field goal. Pat, what was going through your head as you lined up to take the..." And somebody is going to snap on a reporter. And that's going to be the end of sideline access. And sideline access is like a top three thing in the XFL right now.
It's cool. I mean, if you ever watch the documentary, This is the XFL, it's a 30 for 30, they do point out that the XFL did have some good things in there. It wasn't just a crap league. It was crap play. I mean, there was a lot of bad players in there. I mean, you did end up getting some decent players out of there. Like Tommy Maddox was the MVP for the LA Extreme, I think the team was. And obviously, He Hate Me, Rod Smart. But some of the ideas that they had were interesting that ended up getting adopted by the NFL. And I think that the only way for this league to succeed is too many of these previous leagues, whether it be, what, the All-American Football Alliance, the AAFA.
The AAF, yep.
Last year.
Miserably, too.
Yeah, really bad. There was that league. The UFL was one. The United Football League, I think that had 3 seasons, I want to say. And you could even point to the Arena League, where too many of these leagues go, "Oh, we'll open and people will come because people love football." No, people love good football. People, like, I can tell you, when Temple football was really, really bad, and it was basically just me and my buddy and about 10 other people, people didn't come because people don't like good football. But when Temple got really good and they had game day, right, and they're bringing in decent opponents like Notre Dame and Penn State, people started to show up because it was good football. And when the Eagles win 4 games in a season, you look at the crowd in the last home game. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people there, but there's also going to be a lot of empty seats that people that have tickets and just say, "It's not even worth it. I'm not going to go." So the hole that these guys fall into is thinking that Americans will watch football just for the sake of football. Yes, there are some people like Jamie Lynch who want to prove so badly I'm a football guy that they're going to be watching anything football related. Okay, and by the way, you can hear him in about 6 hours. But
they'll talk about it, I guarantee.
Yeah, but most of us go, okay, yeah, I recognize a few of these guys, but there's no reason really for me to watch other than to have it as background noise. The good thing that this league did do, though, is they did get some guys in the league where you do know them, whether it be for your local connections, your Temples, Penn States, but they also got some solid quarterbacks who at least had started games in the NFL who you'd heard of, the Aaron Murrays, Matt McGloin, Landry Jones. So they had right. some of those, right?
Well, and that's
good. That's to Dylan's point. That's 100% correct.
When you look at the AAF, the best quarterback in that league for the 7 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it was Luis Perez. And no one knew who Luis Perez was prior to the AAF. The Eagles gave him a shot in training camp. He never made it out of the training. Obviously,
I didn't know that was a real person.
It's a real player.
Full transparency.
He was on the Eagles training camp roster.
You could have said
this past offseason.
And actually, Greg Ward played in the AAF. But you could have said anybody. You could have made up any name. And I would have said, I would have believed it. Because that's how little of the AAF I watched.
It was bad football. And here's the thing. Everybody tuned in to week one. And we sat there and we watched the Birmingham Express or the whatever it was. Whatever the team names were. And we all sat there and went, this stinks. I sat and watched the XFL yesterday, and it wasn't NFL quality football, obviously, but I didn't ever once look at it and go, this stinks out loud. I looked at it and went, this is minor league football.
Yeah, and
it's enjoyable. And that's what it is. It's better than the AAF, and it's not the NFL. And I think that this league, based on what it's modeled itself after, has a chance to survive.
I think where it's going to have a real good shot to survive, and this is going to be important, is a lot of these leagues don't factor in failure, and hopefully this league did, because to act like you were just going to, if they build it, you know, if you build it, they will come, that's not nearly the case.
Correct.
And a lot of times it happens with expansion teams, wherever it is, where you build an expansion team and that team struggles to draw, because to just put a team, whether really with any sport, not named football, by the way, I want to clarify that, which might sound stupid to those out there because football, it's only 16 games. But in other sports, baseball, hockey, basketball, when you have an expansion team, a lot of times out of the blue, they don't draw well because they're not a good team. You know, sans Golden Knights.
Yeah, the Vegas is the outlier. Don't look at Vegas that way.
Vegas' early success will help them keep people interested and in the door because of the fact that they had early success. And it's a lot easier for a 7 and 8 and 9 year old to jump on a bandwagon, and it's a lot easier for a father or a mother to justify bringing their 7, 8, 9 year old to a game if the product there is good. When they're the Columbus Blue Jackets and they suck, it's tough. So this whole model of, well, if we build it, they will come, that never works. And it hasn't worked with pretty much every other league that has tried to be a minor league feeder system in the NFL because of that fact. They last for 1 or 2 years, but they don't factor in the failure. You have to factor in the failure. The second area where they need to capitalize is, how many? And I'll ask you, you're a huge college football fan. How many times have you heard either, you know, conversation with your friends, on the radio, read it in print, see it on TV, Trevor Lawrence just sit out next season?
Listen, I don't agree with the theory. I think he should play, but I'm also not against it. Like, if Trevor Lawrence came out tomorrow and said, I'm not playing, I'm just going to be a student, and I'll be on the practice squad, and that's that. I don't blame the guy.
Let me ask you.
Because his stock can't go any higher.
Tyler, why didn't he just come out this season in the draft?
Because he can.
Exactly. So if the XFL wants to throw big money, and they have it because they're owned by the WWE, so it's not like they don't have it, they could. But if they want to throw big money at a Trevor Lawrence or, you know, a Tua, one of these underclassmen who cannot come out but is shining in college football, and you come to him and say, we'll give you a 5-year deal. If you want to have an opt-out, that's fine. There you've got a USFL. And the USFL was so successful at poaching underclassmen talent and really making life a living hell for the NFL. Where they faltered was because they ended up suing and got a dollar They ended up winning the lawsuit, but they ended up getting a dollar, and they spent so much money on lawyers they couldn't afford to actually keep a league going. But when you looked at what their model was, it was actually genius, because they ended up going to Reggie White and saying, you can't go to the NFL for two more years. Come play for us in Houston. And boom, next thing you know, he's playing for the Memphis Showboats. You look at Herschel Walker, who played for the New Jersey Generals. And the list goes on of guys who, Steve Young was one of them, Jim Kelly was another, who decided to play for the UFL or the USFL over the NFL, not necessarily because they wanted to. They knew the NFL was the premier thing. Nobody grows up dreaming of playing for the XFL, but it's hard to turn down money when you're in college, and especially now that it's even more magnified. When you look at the college football optics, more players than ever now are sitting out bowl games. And more fans out there are defending them because they say, what's the point of actually playing in a meaningless, the Mike Missinelli Show bowl game on ESPN De Ocho? There is no point. If you're a draftable player, sit out. So you're having the fan support of that. And on top of it, you're having these players who are way more conscious of not only their health and how long that they will have to play, but the monetary angle of it. And the amount of players who have blown out their careers in college for not a dime when they were going to be draftable players, I think that's what the XFL has to pounce, to go into these younger classmen who cannot come out and saying, we'll give you a large sum of money to come out and play for us and forego the NFL for at least a couple of years.
Well, and the one thing that I think a lot of, you know me, I'm the biggest college football nerd on the planet. And I'd rather watch college football than NFL football. But the one thing that a lot of college football fans are finally coming around to realize, because of the fact that these guys are, like you just said, sitting out bowl games and not playing in the meaningless games, is that the NCAA is unbelievably corrupt. Yep. We've all known it, but now people that are maybe were blind to it are starting to understand it. The NCAA is effectively using these players for money. The nonprofit that the NCAA is using these players for money while they're not allowed to make money off their likeness. And I don't believe in paying college players. I do believe in allowing them to make money off jersey sales, likeness, all that good stuff. If the XFL is a way out after high school or even a year in college, you're right. That's how they make it. That's how they win big.
Yeah, we'll discuss this more coming up. 610-632-0975. It's Pat Egan, Tyler Zuli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so yeah, I want to continue this little bit of the XFL talk that we were discussing here. It's Pat Egan, Tyler Zuli, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. I'm interested if anybody out there had watched the XFL this past weekend and kind of what you thought of it and if you're sticking to it, because a lot of these leagues are gimmicky in the sense of you'll check it out for a week. But I also wonder, will the gambling angle help the XFL? And I have a hard time thinking it won't.
Absolutely. We have finally accepted gambling to the point where we are allowed to talk about it on the air. They are allowed to put it in their bug. The fact that they have it on the bug is so, I don't want to say groundbreaking because it's not the NFL, but, you know, and nothing, everything kind of pales in comparison. But it is close to groundbreaking because this league is accepting the fact that guys like you and I, guys like, you know, the listeners, whomever, are able to put money down in this game. Everybody knows they're able to put money down in this game. So the fact that they say, all right, the St. Louis Battlehawks are plus 9.5 today, and you're going to put it on the line, I'm going to go, I don't care. Now, granted, by full disclosure, by the way, I'm the number one St. Louis Battlehawks fan in the tri-state area.
I don't know, man.
That's my team.
There's a guy on Twitter.
That's my squad.
Find him. There's a guy on Twitter who's giving you a run for his money who's a big Battlehawks fan.
But I look at that and I go, there is no way in the first XFL game of these two teams' careers that either of them win or lose by 10 points. And it turned out the Battlehawks ended up winning the game. But 9.5 was such a large spread. But I think that that's great for not only just the league, but I think it's great for viewers. Because right before kickoff, I can see, oh, Battlehawks, 9.5. I don't have to go to the app and whatever app you use and look at the line and this, that, and the other thing and then try to get my bet in before kickoff. I can just look at it pregame and go, Battlehawks plus 9.5. Like that, let me put some money down on it. And I know that when I go to my app that it's going to be plus 9.5. It's going to help viewership, I think, tremendously.
Yeah, it should. It should. I'm dealing with Twitter trolls right now. I love these guys. This is why I don't check Twitter during the shows. I was trying to find the other St. Louis Battlehawks fan, and then I fall into David Halpern, who are the clowns on the air right now. Nobody's calling in, and they're just spewing nonsense. They've never actually watched an NBA season before. This is very poor. They just said the Sixers don't have injuries this year. What on earth?
No, we didn't say that.
Thanks, man.
I actually said that. You know, Joel Embiid has missed time recently because this of a hand injury, and Josh Richardson missed time because of a hamstring injury. I believe what I said was they have 3 of 5 guys have played a majority of the season.
Look, don't let those facts get in the way of David Halpern's trash agenda to log into his Twitter account, which nobody cares about, nobody follows because he's irrelevant, and spew nonsense to us in my account. That's fine. I mean, don't give him, let him have his agenda.
By the way, if you'd like to... Oh, we did. Okay. I'm just making sure. If you'd like to actually tweet at us, go ahead, because I would really prefer that you speak to me instead of just tweeting. So if you want to give us a call, we can actually discuss this, because...
No, I don't want to talk to David Halpern.
Oh, no, I do.
I don't.
Because I
you can tweet him back. I don't want to talk to him.
I would like to know where I said they had no injuries.
Anthony tweeted in, "You guys sound ridiculous. Whoever keeps freaking out like a child needs a nap." That's me. I do need a nap, I'll admit. Yeah, I hate Twitter. I hate Twitter.
It's a cesspool.
It really is a cesspool. It's the place where people that are bitter come and tell you you suck. I hate it.
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
I wish, if you could delete Twitter, would you? Like, and what I mean
like
by
if
that,
we did not need it for our job,
we need it for work.
Absolutely,
I agree.
I use Twitter because of what we do. I think it's a great medium to get information out quickly. I think that the guys and the men and women that we follow that are in this industry, I would not know half the things I don't know without Tim McManus. You know what I mean? Like, he is the Eagles guy. I go to Tim McManus for information. I go to him before I go to the Eagles Twitter page. So we need this for our job. If I didn't need this,
I'd be gone.
There's a lot of
great people on there that are fun to interact with. But the guy, you know, D-bags like this are the reason why most of the time I don't give on my Twitter handle during the show. And as soon as the show's over, I just click the button that goes, like, right up. Like, I just ignore all the comments. Because there's always some guy telling you you don't know what you're talking about and acting like...
I don't mind having a conversation. Arguments are fine. Like, you and I can disagree. You and I had a heated conversation in the 10 o'clock segment. They're fine. It's opinions. This is sports talk radio. Opinions are fine.
What I hate is guys on Twitter get so rude and disrespectful and have to result to, you know, you guys act like you've never even watched a basketball game before. Yeah, man. You're right. I've never watched a basketball game. Like, come on.
I'm not the producer of the Sixers. I'm not. I've never have been.
Like, guys like this, I just want to strangle. Ugh. Hey, thanks for listening, though. Back to the XFL. All right. As I got distracted from Twitter trolls, like David Halpern. Give him a follow, by the way. He's at David Halpern. Halpern. He needs it. He's only got 30, so let's get him to 31. And he's been at it since 2009. Tough break, bud. Getting back to the XFL. I think if they go after college athletes early, that'll help. And I think the betting, as you said, everything you laid out, I think helps, because the amount of people this weekend that were betting football, having no idea who any of these guys were, other than a few, was amazing to me. To the point where I had a hockey game and one of the guys brought his phone on the bench because he had that Battle Hawks game. He had the plus 12 and a half.
No.
When you wonder why we lost the game.
Phone down for 3 hours.
He's sitting there watching. I mean, I'm like, he doesn't know any of these guys, but he saw 12 and a half. And that will keep people invested, which is going to keep ratings at least serviceable to the point where they won't be an embarrassment. Now, attendance-wise, I don't see it end up.
It was funny because there was obviously four games. There's eight teams. It looked like two of the games were pretty well attended. And then it gets back to your Temple argument. You know, the New York Guardians play in MetLife Stadium.
Yeah.
They are used to 60,000 people. They probably got, I would bet you they probably got 25. But
well,
paid
attendance wise.
It looks empty when you have a 65,000 seat stadium.
It does. It doesn't look good. And I was thinking the other day, you know, where would a Philadelphia team play if they had Philadelphia?
It would have to be Franklin Field.
It'd have to be, right?
They couldn't put them at the Link.
Because Temple doesn't have they don't have a stadium, unfortunately. And, I mean, you know where you actually might be? No, I don't know if you could. Could you play? No, you can't play in Chester. You can't play at the Union.
I think that's too small.
Is it too small?
I think so. Let me go and take a look because I think
I don't think you could play there anyway just because of the Union season is about to kick off in a couple months, so it wouldn't coincide.
Oh no, you know actually it's 18,000. I thought it was a little less than that. That's plenty.
Yeah, that's what I mean. 18,000 is a perfect number for an XFL.
The Guardians drew 18,000, just under 18,000 today.
So really 12,000 showed up.
And I don't know how many actually showed up, but the thing is, like we talked about, they drew 18,000. If you have an 18, you know, if 17,634 is the paid attendance and the stadium holds 19,000 people, it's going to look really good. When the stadium holds 82,000 like MetLife does, it's tough. It's a tough visual.
Oh, the visual is terrible. It's absolutely terrible. 610-632-0975. Drew, I see you there, man. I'm gonna get to you right after the break. I do have to tell you guys that this weekend's programming is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Valentine's Day is almost here, and you want to get your girlfriend or wife a gift that she'll be proud to wear. Go to Family and Company Jewelers on Route 70 in Marlton, South Jersey's diamond destination. Are you prepared for Valentine's Day?
I am. I actually ordered my gift the other day. Plus, I got a little bonus. Because obviously, you know that she lives in Boston. She won't be home for a couple extra days after Valentine's Day. So I got a couple days of leeway for delivery.
Okay,
so yeah. I'll be good.
That's good. It makes one of us. I have no idea what I'm getting.
Uh-oh.
Yep, not great.
You might be sleeping on the couch.
Not great. Well, it won't be the first time. It's Pat Egan, Tyler Zulio, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, final segment. Now, we've been paired up the past couple weeks.
Yep.
I like it. It's unfortunate for you. I apologize. But we got it.
You know, I like to tell people I'm just paying my dues.
That's a good way to look at it.
This is just me radio paying my dues.
The way everybody who works with me looks at it. But we got a tweet in from It's Only Joe. Ruined today. Loyal tweeter and follower of the station and hosts alike. And he goes, Twitter troll accounts should be a segment every night you guys work together. And then you brought up we could do it the final segment as like a Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, you know, like when he does the thank you notes. I think that would be pretty funny.
I'm all about that idea. I'm all about doing Twitter troll.
Thank you.
Thank you for chiming in.
30 followers.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because yes, I am in fact a clown, and I am currently in clown school.
Yeah, I love it.
You know what I mean? Something like that.
I'm not going to rip other people's professions because, you know, people out there work hard, but let's not rip me and my profession. I don't know what you do. You know, if you're an Uber driver, I don't know what your rating is. Could be 2 stars.
Well, and that's the unfortunate part is we are in a transparent industry where you can see and hear everything we do and say. And tweet. You know, when Tim from accounting makes a mistake in accounting, you know who knows about it? probably the immediate people around him and his boss. When you or I make a mistake, those people still know about it, the immediate people and our boss.
I'm looking at you, Drew in traffic.
But also the thousands of people. Also, the thousands of people that listen to our station.
I feel like, and Drew, I'm going to get to you in a second because he actually wants to talk sports. But I do think this is an interesting, at least I mean for us, because we have to deal with it, but interesting conversation. But I feel like we're very transparent, me and you at least.
Oh, for sure.
We said earlier, if we shoot 60% in this industry, we're doing great. And
I admit when we're wrong.
We will admit when we're wrong quite a bit. All right, now if you want me to be one of those guys who acts like I'm never wrong and will make every excuse in the book and give myself back doors as to why I wasn't wrong, I could change into that guy very quickly. But I want to be transparent to the listener. If I was wrong about this topic, I will admit it. If I was right about this, I will say it. So that's what cracks me up about like Twitter trolls when they pop up on your timeline. But I do love this idea. So if we are on next week, which I don't think we are.
No, we
I'm
will,
off Sunday.
We're actually going to be airing the NBA All-Star game next week.
Right.
So we will not be together. But
if we're possibly back
the weekend after that.
Moving forward, I think we do need to debut the Twitter troll segment. And we'll tell you all the nice things that Twitter has to say. Let's go to Drew in Westchester, though, who actually wants to talk about something very topical on the station. It's called sports. Drew, you're on the Fanatic.
Well, I want to talk sports, and then a little Sixers, but then I got a violation ruling I need you guys' opinion about.
Sure.
All right, so first off, the sports thing. I mean, is Korkmaz for real? I mean, should we actually believe this hype these last couple games? I mean, is this going to, like, continue? Should we believe, like, you know, should we be loving this?
Drew, I think Korkmaz is for real in the sense that Korkmaz is exactly what he's good for. I think the 30-point nights are outliers for sure. But I also think that the 0-point nights are outliers. You're probably going to get closer to 10, 12, 14 points a night from Furkan Korkmaz most nights, you know, and then you'll get those 10% outliers where he scores 30 and 10% outliers where he scores zero. I think he's perfect for what he is. I just don't, I don't need him to be anything more.
Yeah, I think expecting even 20 points a game from him off the bench you're doing yourself a disservice because you're setting yourself up for disappointment. But looking at the last two games, and we did the math, I mean, if you take out those last two games, and you put it down on a small sample size of 8 games. So this last 10 games, I think he was averaging 12, okay? You take out the last 2 games, so you have 8 games. He was averaging like 9 points a game. And the reality is, Furkan Korkmaz is a guy who can get hot.
Right, yeah.
But the reality is, like, the 30 points, no. I mean,
right, yeah. It was just, you know, they're going to be aberrations, you know, here and there, far between, right?
Exactly. And he'll show flashes that, you know, you sit here and you're going to have that question, and it's a natural question to have after back-to-back 30-point performances. But right. I don't think it would shock anybody if he goes out there and plays 18 minutes the coming game and has 4 points and, you know, can't hit the water if he fell out of a boat. So Furkan Korkmaz at this point to me is what he is. I don't think he's developing at this point. I think he's just a bench piece. Now, with that said, he's going to earn some money. I mean, I don't think he'll be back with the Sixers next season because of cap situations, but he's definitely proving that he is an NBA player, and that was something that I don't think he did the previous season or the season before that, to the point where the Sixers actually said, all right, we're not going to opt into your contract. We're going to let you test the waters, and if you're willing to come back on a ridiculously cheap deal, we'll do it, but other than that, have fun in Turkey, and he ended up coming back.
Yeah, well, he's been getting my love right now, so I hope he sticks to stage.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, for all the Furkan hate I give him, they don't win those last two games without him. All the Furkan haters have to admit that.
Real quick, if you guys can, a violation ruling here. So I'm at the hockey game last night. I'm actually down in Florida, so I was at the Panthers-Penguins game last night. And so these people, every time I'm 14 rows off the ice, right behind the net.
Got it.
Every time the puck would come anywhere near the net,
don't say it.
These two knuckleheads would stand up right in front of me.
No. No.
It's a violation, right?
Horrible.
And
the problem with those guys is, and I'm sure somebody finally said something to them, and they turn around.
I was with my dad. We both said something. We're like, and at one point there was a breakaway, and the guy's coming down a breakaway, and these guys stand up right in front of us, and we couldn't even see the goal.
And the problem with guys like that is when you finally say something to them, they act like you're the jerk.
Exactly. And that's what happened.
Now, Drew, thanks for the phone call, man. I hate people like that, and it happens. Another thing that annoys me, we could do a whole side segment on violations of sports, but especially hockey, because I go to a lot of hockey games, and the people that get up during the play to go to the bathroom, or the people that wait until the very end of a TV timeout to get up and go to the bathroom. Like, no, dude, you had your minute. You had your 90 seconds. But you're going to sit here and stand up and block everyone's view and ask Sarah if she wants a beer. Well, what beer do you want? Do you want a Stella? What if they don't have Stella? Is a Bud Light? You want a Thule? What is White? We'll get you a White Claw. And it's like, dude, move. The play is going on. And then, of course, they come back. And it takes them forever to shimmy. Now, I don't really mind that so much because a lot of stadiums have gotten really good with that. They'll have an usher basically blocking the area of like, hey, you got to wait. But the people that get up during plays drive me up a wall. I hate it.
Yeah, you know what the thing with hockey is, too, is the stoppages. You know, obviously, you don't know when they're coming. But the stoppages, whether it's icing, whether it's a goal scored, whether it's a TV timeout, you have plenty of time to make that decision.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not like the play stops and it's like, oh, grab the puck, let's go, face off.
Yeah, they draw that. So
yeah, you got some time.
I want to tell this real quick story. We only have like 90 seconds. So I go to a playoff game and I go with my mom, and because my mom's a huge hockey fan and she got me into hockey. So I usually end up going to hockey games with her. And there is this Valley girl who looks like she probably got the tickets from her boss, and she is plastered. And she just keeps getting up out of her seat and just blocking the play. And finally, in the second period, she got up, and we were just like, don't, the whole section was like, don't come back. Like,
sit
please
down.
God, do not
or
come
leave.
Back.
Right.
Now, you've heard my mom on the phone. She is this, like,
she's a saint.
4'11". You know, she's one of these women, too, like, can't stand it if I curse. Patrick, I don't curse around my parents. And I'm like, well, tough S, right? So she bolts it out of as soon as the game's over, she bolts it down the steps, and I'm like taking my time and I'm waiting, and I get down to the concourse just in time to hear my mother looking up to this girl, because my mother is 4'11", looking up to this like 32-year-old, you know, bimbo, and she goes, this girl didn't know a puck between blue line between a clothesline. And all I hear my mom
Third
is
time's
go.
A charm.
Exactly. Look, it's been a long night. All I hear my mom go is, no, F you. I'm like, Mom, what are you doing? Well, I told her never to come to a hockey game until she learns the rules.
That's great. Your mom's awesome.
Love
yeah,
it.
She's something. All right.
By the way, real quick before we get out of here, Furkan Korkmaz, non-guaranteed contract next year for $1.7 million because fully guaranteed on July 10th.
He'll be back.
Yes, he will.
Bring him home. All right, thank you to our producer, Dylan McKinnon. For Tyler Zulli, I'm Pat Egan. We don't know when we'll be back next, but hopefully it'll be soon on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.